When we think about problems and how to deal with problems, sometimes a way to deal with a problem is to get people to shift their focus, right? So to say that is not the problem, this is the problem. Get them to purpose their focus. As I thought about people who do this, it could be something like doctors, if they know if there's an underlying condition, that kind of thing. It could be mechanics. It could be repairmen shifting the focus from not that thing, but this thing. That could be a help. And in our next set of verses in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is going to do that very thing. So the Galatian believers had gotten derailed in their faith by this group of men. We haven't talked too much about the group of men. But these were men who came down from Jerusalem and had insisted that the Gentile Christians had to be circumcised. If you know your Old Testament, you know that that was a sign of the Jewish covenant, but that they had to be circumcised before they could be accepted by God and truly follow the Jewish Messiah, Jesus. So last week, we saw Paul call the Galatians foolish for buying into that. They had shown initial saving faith when they had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he recognizes that. But now they were being convinced that they needed to set that faith aside, that they needed to kind of concentrate on taking matters into their own hands, that they needed to now do things on top of that initial faith, physical things like being circumcised, for example. So in the beginning of chapter 3, Paul has asked a series of questions we saw to get them to realize that ongoing faith is what was needed. And so now what the next thing that Paul is going to do is to shift their focus, and he's going to shift it to the person of Abraham. He's going to communicate to them the importance of Abraham as a way of combating the lies that they were starting to buy into. So we have just four verses this morning. Follow along in Galatians chapter 3. As I read verses 6 through 9, Paul says, "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, therefore recognize that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations will be blessed in you.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer." So Paul is seeking to convince them of the importance of Abraham, and he's just going to make two primary points in these verses. That's what he's going to get across. And the first point about Abraham is that he is important for believing God. So verse 6, if you look at that, it starts out, depending on your Bible, as "just as" or "even so." Or this is a continuation of what he was saying in verse 5. He's appealed to their own experience in the first five verses. If you look at those carefully, he's appealing to what they heard, what they did, what they had through. So that was all them, all their experience. But now he's going to illustrate the importance of faith by talking about Abraham. But before we look at the words about Abraham in verse 6, we need to kind of pull back and to think more broadly. So remember, first of all, that these were believers that were young in the faith, right? And remember that the congregation was mostly Gentile. They were mostly non-Jews. And we remember that this is Paul's oldest letter that we have in the New Testament. All that's correct, right? Okay. Young in the faith, mostly Gentiles, oldest letter we have in the New Testament. So did you stop? Do you find it interesting that they even know about Abraham in the first place? Do you think about that? And I would think they have to know about Abraham to some degree, or what Paul's saying wouldn't even have much of an impact. I think there were probably two possible ways that Paul could have known that the Galatians knew about Abraham. It could be that the Judaizers, this group that came in, that were trying to, you know, push circumcision, push obedience to the law, It's possible that he knew that that group had taught them about Abraham. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is that Paul himself had talked about Abraham when he and his team were with the Galatians. So let me show you a verse that we went over in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 13, Paul had said to them, "For you have heard of my former way of life in Judaism." So perhaps the Apostle Paul, in talking about his former life, maybe it also involved talking about Abraham. So notice that he doesn't try to convince the validity of bringing up this patriarch. It was as if they had already been exposed to what we call the Old Testament. And we're going to come back to that idea when we get to verse 8 mentioning the scripture. Okay? And to be honest, I really could have brought up this whole concept when we looked at the second half of chapter 2. Some of you were here when we went over that. When Paul reviews his confrontation with Peter, in that context of talking about this whole thing with Peter, he mentions the law. And we've seen him mention the law in chapter 3 as well. So Christian believers, these Gentiles, these young Christians, apparently they understood what the law referred to. And this is where we start to see that there's a shift in focus that Paul is trying to do. Never once in this entire letter to the Galatians will we see the name Moses. But plenty of times, starting in chapter 2, verse 2, and who stood behind the law was the man who wrote it, right? The one who took it down, which was Moses. So I decided to do a New Testament study in my preparation and just looked up the names Moses and Abraham, and you can do this on your own too. And really, you can basically get the idea even if you just restrict it to the Gospels alone. But the Jews focused on Moses and what he did, okay? Moses and what he did, like in writing down the law, they focused on that way more than they focused on Abraham. And in fact, rarely is anything said by Jews in the New Testament with regards to anything that Abraham did. The majority of times when they refer to Abraham, it's always in the context of Abraham being their father or them being the descendants. And that's basically it. The Judaizers were playing the Moses card as part of their argument to the Galatians. You have to pay attention to the law that Moses wrote. You have to pay attention to that. And so Paul is essentially saying to the Judaizers, I'll see your law, and I'll raise you in the book of Moses. I'm going to go back even farther in the books of Moses, all the way back to Abraham. So part of this shift in focus that Paul is making is a shift from Moses to Abraham. And he's also shifting from the idea of thinking of Abraham and his importance physically to Abraham's importance non-physically. In other words, his importance spiritually. So thus in verse 6, Paul quotes the first book of Moses, Genesis, chapter 15, verse 6. And he says that Abraham believed God, and his believing, was credited to him as righteousness. So Paul is pointing out what enables somebody to be righteous in God's eyes. In other words, to be right with God. It's believing in him. It's faith. Just to give you a quick reminder for any who don't remember me saying this before or weren't with us when I've said it before, when we have these three words, faith and belief and trust, all three of those are referring to the same thing in the New Testament. Okay, all three of those could be used to translate one word in the New Testament's original language. So the fact that Abraham believed God is saying he trusted God. He put his faith in God. So Abraham was to be regarded as important by the Galatian believers. Why? He's to be important for believing God. And it was his believing God that was credited to him. That's what got righteousness credited to him. And you may be able to pick up, depending on the way your Bible has that, from the word credited, it was a financial term. If you don't have credited, you may have counted or accounted. And many of us have accounts, like a credit card account or a checking account. If somebody decided, you're thinking, yes, may it be. If somebody decided out of the goodness of their heart to take money from their account and credit it into your account, those funds would be yours, right? So as Paul would later explain to the Roman believers, because he wrote Romans after this, God credits Christ's righteousness to our accounts. Our accounts before him when we place our faith in Christ. When we received Christ in faith, God sees the debt in our account, that debt of sin, as being canceled, which is amazing but true. So why does that happen? It's because of faith, Paul is saying. It's because of faith. And most of us know we can't take credit even for the faith that we exercised, because even that was a gift from God. So the verse that usually we look at when it comes to that is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That's talking about the whole process of salvation. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift. It is the gift of God. So from start to finish, the idea is that God gets the glory for rescuing us. Start to finish, God gets the glory for rescuing us. There is nothing physical that produces being right with God. You can let your mind wander in terms of what those physical ways might be. Physical, the way you dress. Physical, whose family you're born into. Right? Whatever physical way, there's nothing physical that then gets you right with God. It's non-physical. It wasn't being descended in this case from Abraham, it's believing. And that's what Paul gets to then in verse 7. Verse 7 says, therefore recognize that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So Paul is urging them to shift their focus, number one, from Moses to Abraham, and then number two, to why Abraham was important. Abraham was important for believing God, which meant that he was also important for showing us who really are the sons of Abraham. It is those who are of faith. Just want to make a quick comment on this expression, the sons of Abraham. You have various Bibles that might say children of Abraham instead. I think that's perfectly fine. Most of you know, and for anybody who's roughly around my age, you know that this was even true when we were kids growing up. Sons, as a word, used to be understood as not just a reference to males, but it was a reference to children in general. And so in Spanish, some of you have taken Spanish as a course, it's still that way. So when you have the word hijos, right? Hijos as a word can mean sons, it can mean those males, or hijos can mean children. It just depends on the context, and you have to know the context. It's the same thing here as well in the New Testament language. And modern language has kind of gotten away from that. You know, we don't want to use male pronouns to refer to everybody, in general, or sons in general. Obviously, the New American Standard has that. Obviously, both male believers and female believers are connected, are associated with Abraham by faith. Okay, let me point out one more thing about verse 7. You can take... Some make it hard to see manned at the beginning of verse 7. So the New American Standard, depending on which version you have, it's either recognize that or be sure that. A couple Bibles have understand that or know that. These are all shades of meaning. What I want us to see, though, is that this is a habit command. So continue to recognize, Paul is saying, or continue to know, continue to understand that those who are of faith, those are the children of Abraham. Paul's saying to them, you need to hang on to that truth. You need to keep remembering that truth. So Abraham has importance for Christians. Why? Well, he's important for believing God. Right? Abraham shows us that faith is the way to obtain a right standing before God. He showed us that before the law was even given. And in fact, he even showed that before circumcision was even commanded by God, which is where the Galatians are even pushed, right? Abraham is important for truly showing who is it that's associated with him, who are the sons and daughters of God. It's the ones that are of faith. It's not a physical connection. It's those with a spiritual faith connection. And then Paul's going to get to this other major reason that Abraham was to be important for believers. He was important for being God's channel. That's in verses 8 and 9. If you look at verse 8, it's a little bit in some ways. So I'm going to take a little bit more time with verse 8, and then we'll quickly finish up with verse 9. First off, when it says scripture, right? There's personification going on. And if you just want some kind of simple definition of personification, it means to represent something that is not a person as a person. That was my best attempt at coming up with a simple explanation. Personification is taking something that's not a person, but writing about it as if it were a person. So verse 8 says that the scripture foresaw and preached. It's like saying the Bible foresaw and preached, but we know the Bible's an object, right? So I'm sure that most of you realize that what verse 8 is really saying is that God foresaw, and therefore God preached. But the cool thing to understand here, what's going on, is that God is so identified with his word, the scriptures, that when scripture speaks, God is speaking. That's what this is supporting. And this kind of goes along with the idea of the inspiration of the scripture. When scripture, each book of the Bible was originally written, it was exactly how God wanted it. And it's been so well preserved over the centuries that we can have great confidence in the translations that come from those. So another thing I want to point out is, and again, this varies from Bible to Bible, is that verse 8 is talking about foreseeing and preached beforehand. So there's a before part that it has in common. And I think the God's Word translation makes this the easiest to see. So here's how they have verse 8. Scripture saw ahead of time that God would give his approval to non-Jewish people who have faith. So Scripture announced the good news to Abraham ahead of time, when it said, through you, all the people of the world will be blessed. So this idea of God seeing ahead of time, it's trying to put into words that we can understand a concept which is hard for us to understand. And that is that God exists outside of time. He operates within time, but he exists outside of time. And that's why it says, for example, in scriptures that he knows the end from the beginning. So God foresaw that he would approve of Gentiles, non-Jewish people, on the basis of their faith. And so Paul, once again, in these verses, ends up quoting the first book of Moses, Genesis. This time he does it from chapter 12, verse 3. In Genesis, most of your Bible, if you turn back to the Old Testament, it would say, all the families of the earth will be blessed. A couple of Bibles say, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. But the intention is the same as saying in verse 8, all the nations. In fact, in Genesis 18:18, same concept, uses the actual word nations there. So in what sense is God using Abraham? In what sense is Abraham God's channel? In what sense is he the means by which the whole world would be blessed? Because this is a prophecy of centuries and centuries ago. The answer is that Christ would come as a descendant of Abraham. And we're going to see that confirmed later in Galatians. But for now, I just want to say this is why the Gospel of Matthew, we just got out of the Christmas season, this is why the Gospel of Matthew starts out like it does. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then what Matthew does is he details that connection, right? He says all the way from Abraham and his covenant to David and his covenant, all the way up to then Joseph, husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So Abraham was God's channel in two different ways. He was a channel connecting to the Messiah because Jesus could trace his genealogy all the way back to him. But he was also a channel for God because he's a channel of blessing. He's a channel of blessing for all those who have faith like Abraham did. And for verse 9, our last verse, my Bible, the Pew Bible, uses the word faith and then it has the word believer. I think the International Standard Version has a little bit easier where you can make the connection. Therefore, those who believe are blessed together with Abraham, the one who believed. I like that. Those who believe are blessed together with Abraham, the one who believed. And actually, it literally says the one believing. I think that they figured that people would get confused of that by describing Abraham as the one believing. I personally think that's actually pretty cool because it's the idea that he's still believing. Right? He was believing back then in heaven with God. He's believing now. And I think that ties in with where we finished up last Sunday, where Paul was talking about the sense of ongoing faith. Like Abraham's even an example of that. The only way to be right with God is by faith. If anyone tries to convince you otherwise, direct them to Abraham. This is a real simple, easy thing to put into action. No matter where they're coming from, if they say it's by what you do that you get right with God. You say, no, just look at Abraham's life. So last Sunday, we were talking about this idea of deception and how deception could derail somebody in the faith. And as we talked about this at our Wednesday night midweek study, we said, yeah, you know, that can certainly come through poor teaching. It can come also through false teaching. That could definitely be something that gets somebody's faith off the rails. So when it comes to cults and it comes to false sects, they will try to point you to convince you otherwise. They're going to try to convince you otherwise. All those groups are going to say, no, you have to do this and you have to do it this way. What they're trying to do is that they're trying to convince you otherwise. We're going to say, no, look at Abraham. Simple as that. That's not true. Look at Abraham. You can tell them faith has always been the way. And this is something that helps us to understand the Old Testament too. How is it that God regarded people? Well, it says it was by believing, but it was by faith. Faith has always been the way. Abraham is proof of that. We're not saying that good works don't matter. And this is one of things that it's a little bit tricky and we have to make sure that we understand. We're not saying we can just live however we want to because good works do matter. Book of James says that good works matter. And in fact, James even uses Abraham as part of his argument that works matter. But that's talking about works resulting from being right with God. It's works as evidence of being right with God. It's not works in order to get right with God. Verse 7, if we understand that, it's saying, keep on recognizing, continue knowing, keep on understanding that faith is the way to be right with God. So we must not let anybody convince us otherwise. By the way, when I worded it that way, I decided to choose the verb there very carefully. The only way to be right, I didn't say get right, but to be right with God is by faith. So, if you think about the two stages, yes, getting right with God, that part of being right with God, that initial saving faith, absolutely. It's the way that you get right with God. The way that you can be right with God initially is by faith. And if there's that has not grabbed hold of that gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, do it today. You get started in your walk with Christ by faith. But be right also has an ongoing sense also. It's about continuing on. The only way to continue being right with God is by faith also. That's the ongoing faith. Now, we have people in the congregation and the church family that may feel differently about this. I have preached for my conviction, which is I don't think it's possible for someone to lose their salvation. So I've talked about that before, but I do believe, I do think that we can sin. I do believe that we can stumble. And when that happens, even for those who are already born again, our fellowship, our closeness with God is affected. And this may require, not just on my part, but I think on everybody's part, we may need to think this over. But when you think about having your life evaluated by God when all is said and done, right? I've concluded that when we sin, at the heart of that is not acting in faith. That at the moment of that sin, there was some way that we didn't trust God. There was some way that we weren't believing God. Make sense? So you can take some time and turn that over. It's not just saying that to get started, to be right at the beginning. It's to say to be right at any time, even in our Christian walk, it's going to be by faith. Moses was a great man. He's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as acting by faith. Wasn't he? But Abraham is mentioned in that chapter too. And I think we need to appreciate anew the unique importance of Abraham. Let's pray. Sometimes, Father God, we wish that we weren't on such an emotional, spiritual roller coaster where we might feel close and then we don't feel close and we think we're being obedient and we're not being obedient. It wears us out, Lord, but you know our flesh. And we believe that through digging into your word, we believe that by the work of your Holy Spirit, that he who started this work in us is going to be faithful to complete it in Christ Jesus. And it's rather amazing to us, Father, that in this very first book of the Bible, Genesis, before Moses was even on the scene, you showed us the way to be right with you, getting started or continuing on decades later. The way to be right with you is by faith. It's by trusting you. It's by believing you. Father, if anybody is wrestling with a particular part of your scriptures, thinking that can't possibly be true, I pray that we would be willing to wait and see if we can learn more about that, get a fuller understanding of it. It would be great, Father, if we could just take you at your word and live in light of that and just decide to obey. But we need your help, Lord God. We're thankful for this example of Abraham and how he showed us that faith is really what matters, and it always has. So strengthen us, Father, when our faith gets weak, mature it, and all that's going to be to your glory because you're the one who began that work. You're the one who's going to complete it. Thank you, Father, for pointing us back to something so important and something so basic. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.